Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Just relaxing, trying to navigate the possible return of real life.
Yeah, right? Isn't that, that's pretty much what it is right now, this psychotic. I'm 51 years old. I talk about this quite a bit, but, you know, I've never been told to stay home. I've never been told not to work. I don't have a problem with either.
Yeah.
But it is a strange, we're from Des Moines, you know, so I just got here from Des Moines, what, about 3-4 weeks ago, and, you know, it's different here. Yeah. I mean, I've lived here 7 years of my life, probably, making albums, directing movies, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I know this city pretty well, and I have a lot of friends that live all over the city, so, you know, it is. It's a weird time, isn't it?
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 27.
27.
Yeah.
Living in this world.
Yeah.
Well, it'll give you a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
So you were saying that you're from Kentucky.
Yeah.
What city?
Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, all
right. Right outside in a suburb area called Oldham County. It's kind of what my band like represents because we're all coincidentally from there.
Okay, cool. Cool, yeah, we play there. I think we've been, we play in Louisville.
Yeah.
A lot recently. Some different promoters have festivals there. We did a whiskey festival a while back.
Yeah,
I had a blast.
I'm having a hard time remembering the name, but there's also Louder Than Life.
Yep, yep,
yeah,
yep.
I know that you guys have played that. We've played that as well. I'm trying to think of the name of the whiskey fest.
Yeah, I was very, I have my own whiskey.
Okay.
And I was asked to go down there. We were doing the show and sort of broadening the horizons with artists and spirits, or could be poetry, could be anything. I'm just into like dipping into all, you know, mindsets.
Of course.
But what was cool was it was cool seeing how knowledgeable everyone was on the whiskey.
Yeah.
And any whiskey. And just the shit that they talked about, I couldn't believe it. By the end of it, I was pouring my reserve in people's mouths. But the questions they were asking weren't necessarily devoted to Slipknot or the mindset. It was more about the whiskey. And I thought that's exactly why we wanted to do it. You know, give them Slipknot, give them, you know, speak to people, do these things. But most importantly, just be with the fans and stuff like that. So.
Absolutely.
And hear their expertise. So my son Simon said to say what's up.
Yeah.
He said that he's I don't know if he said he texted you or spoken to you, or
we've messaged a couple times.
It's cool.
For a while now. And also I think that he knows my friend Griffin from Des Moines, who plays in the Acacia Strain.
Oh yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. He's done a really good job doing some recordings and just been proactive for the boys. And, you know, it's pretty fun to watch my son, for people that don't know, you know, my son Simon, he's 17 now, and he's just going for it, man.
Yeah.
He's just like, his mom and I are pretty upset with, you know, he's sort of dropping out of school at the moment. He's actually the first person I let music find me. All music, doesn't matter, from jazz to opera to whatever. I've been really getting into jazz and classical lately because I just been working on albums for so long, like I can really understand that stuff now. But I let all bands, especially new bands, because it's really hard for us, you know, it's like one long thing that I'm sure you're gonna have in your life. So I let all things find me, and Simon was the one that brought me to you guys. Played me a few things, because I'm always on him. I'm always on him about new stuff, and I get on him about his band. And
yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'll be like, what's up with the makeup? You know, like, just, you know, I make him fight for it. And that's really all I do is I don't get involved at all. I let them be what they are, and they have worked since they were, I mean, Simon's been playing drums since he was, before he was 1 year of age. He used to cry and I would play drums and he would smile. and I would take the stick and put it in his hand, and he would move the stick on a drum, and I filmed it before he was 1 year of age just so people would believe me that it was actually real. So it's, you know, as a father, it's pretty cool to watch someone, you know, especially in our bloodline, and really just gave the boys a place to practice. So anyway, he said, "What's up?" and wanted to, you know, he really loves your band.
Yeah, you have to tell him I said, "Hey."
Yeah, I will, right after the interview. So, Knocked Loose. Things that are cool about names are always, you know, what does it mean? So, what is your world? What is Knocked Loose? What, you don't have to tell me what that means, but what's it, I guess, what does it feel to you, or what's going on with you guys?
It's funny because that originally wasn't our name. We when we started the band and we were like jamming, we started to prepare for our first show, we were under the name Manipulator. So we announced that, and then within like a week of this flyer going around, we got messaged by another band called Manipulator, and they were like, "Hey, like that name's taken." So then we had like this sort of like a deadline we have from here until the show to find a new name so that they can put us on the flyer. And we just started scrambling, and my friend Scott, who actually booked a lot of the local shows in Louisville, he was the one that like suggested the name. And I was like, "Wow, that sounds cool. It sounds like hard," which is kind of like all we're really going for, is something aggressive sounding. So I remember being like, "Yeah, we'll stick with that for now. If something better comes along, we'll change it before it gets too late." And then just like nothing did, so here we are.
Well, and then if you let time go by, I mean, we tried that once. Same thing. The Grateful Dead has a song called Slipknot. Okay. So there is a Grateful Dead cover band, I believe. I know they were called Slipknot. I couldn't tell you what they were, who they were, you know, just whatever. So because they took it from the Dead, they never talked about the name. It was more or less the .com, and that's why we have Slipknot1.com. Okay. But then after years, our fans started getting on them.
Yeah.
And even though we were getting bigger, there'd be this little show, like I think in Boston, in a club. And our fans would go there thinking it was us.
And
it's like a 40-seater or something, like a club, like a bar. And so anyway, they end up, if I remember, and I don't know the exact story, but I think they end up calling us saying, please, like, let's work this out so your fans leave us
just
alone.
Take it, leave us.
But that's why we kept moving with it. But at one point, we changed, before we were signed, we changed the band name to Pig System. And our local fans just weren't having it.
Yeah.
So that was a good sign. Our own fan base at home was like, "Are you guys, you know, like, that's the dumbest thing ever."
Yeah.
And, but you know, it's, you do that. That's kind of what we were doing. Is there something better? You know, we were getting closer. So.
It's hard.
It's very hard.
To pick a name that you're going to have, that's going to represent you forever. And in the end, I'm glad that we didn't end up changing it. I think it's kind of a pretty good representation of, it's an aggressive sounding name. You kind of get the idea. The thing that I was telling, the joke that I have with my band is like, you don't want a band name that's hard to tell people in the airport or to tell your grandma. Because like, imagine being the band that's like, you're in the airport and somebody's like, "Oh, what's your band name?" And you're like, "Oh, my band name is Dying Fetus." You know what I mean? So, and I love Dying Fetus, but like, I want my grandma to know what my band name is and not be scared by it.
Hey, I mean, there's a lot to be said about that. Yeah. My grandma was my favorite human being ever on this planet Earth. So that's very, very cool. And that's very today. It feels very, yeah, that's beautiful. So I know I like Dying Fetus too. So, but I know what you mean. we also, our very first show, this is our very first show. Paul, I don't know, he hung out with some chick and then promised her we'd do a a battle of bands or whatever. And so the next day of practice, like, I promised someone. It was big argument. So we had to start scrambling, and we called ourselves, I came up with Meld. I did all the welding and all this stuff and sounded really hard, but then we found out it was a card game. Some stupid card game. Yeah. We're like, no fucking way could we be that, right? But I like that. And you know, you got this too, you know. You gotta think about the fans. Knock loose. That's important.
That's happened a couple times.
Yeah, that's a real thing. Crazy. Yeah, that's a real thing. So
did you say you were a welder?
You know, I am. How well I could, it's sort of like riding a bike, you know, but you gotta get familiar with your equipment. Yeah. But yeah, I weld, and I did a lot of it when I was younger, and really just don't have time.
My dad did that up until my second, I have two younger brothers. Up until my youngest brother was born, my dad was a welder like my whole life.
Your whole life?
Yeah.
Was he an arc welder or a MIG welder, TIG welder?
Like overhead conveyor belts for factories that like held like car parts and refrigerators. So like he was working like way up in the air.
So he could have been, you know, if it was heavy stuff, he was arc welding or MIG or whatever. But if it was real precise, aluminum, stainless, TIG, which is real hard. But anything under any circumstance besides a table is difficult, you know?
Definitely. He did. He traveled a lot as well. So I feel like that maybe gave me my like interest in traveling, because he was gone a lot when I was younger, and when he would come back, he would have all these crazy stories, because he got to see like basically the entire United States just through his job.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, I always wondered why people were always, it's interesting, because when we were coming about, the press and everybody was, you know, Des Moines, Iowa. Why do, you know, it's like, and I would just be like, okay, you know, Bangkok, Dublin, U2, Dublin, what?
Yeah.
That's further, you know, what is your compass of understanding? I don't get it. But I guess as I sit and you're like, you know, I guess you say Kentucky, and in my brain, I try to think of anybody that I might have known that's been signed or was a band, or, you know, from punk to anything, you know, and I just, right off the bat, I can't get anything but the, you know, no pun intended, but it's like, right off the bat, the baseball bat, you know, and I've been in that factory, right?
Yeah.
It's there, so.
And the big museum that they have.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Great, I loved, you know what I loved about the museum was all the rejects.
Yeah.
All the bats that were fucked up.
Yeah.
They just threw them in a box. They're like a dollar. I'm like, I'll take them all.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
No, but
I don't know if, I'm sure that you all got one when you played Louder Than Life, but they make you the little slugger that has your name on it.
Yeah, yeah. We've, Corey Taylor bought me one once. Had it all with gold. Well, you know, they carved the name and he put clown in it, and then they took paint that was, you know, goldish in color. And man, it's pretty cool. Every time we go, so I have quite a collection. And when they bring them off the lathe, you know, the front, the top is a point.
Yeah.
A real point, you know, they cut it. So I get them like that, you know, so it's just a little extra advantage. But I can never use them on stage because they, you know, it's like, you know, if you're thinking about it, you can make a bat work.
Yeah.
But when the clown shows up and it's that time, there's no way I'm not gonna, it's gonna just splinter and be, it's gonna be firewood everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that name, Knock Loose. It's different. And it's cool. What, how many guys in the band?
Five of us.
Five of you. So what, you're singing?
I sing two guitars, a bass player, and a drummer.
Cool.
And then our singer, I mean, our guitar player does some backup vocals. Just to help me out.
And what's, like I said, it's been a while since I've heard it, you know, and I need to, I've been working on music this whole last year, you know, and before that we were on tour, and before we were on tour, our family, you know, struck a blow, we lost a child, and before that I was working on We Are Not Your Kind, so it's just been a monumental ride into the pandemic, you know, so not a lot of time for music and stuff. So what's the genre? I know that's a chicken shit question. I don't like it. I don't like it when people ask me either. But I mean, what do you love about what you're doing?
I like to just say that it's heavy. It's just really heavy. I feel like you kind of pull influences from a bunch of different directions. You have some metal, some hardcore. Just, we're all like different dudes and we like to write it all together. Like we get into a room and we jam and we work on ideas. So you gotta kind of have everybody's influences shown through the music. A lot of the times people, like with us, and I'm sure with other bands as well, but in the past with us, bands get so fixated on like what's the specific subgenre or like what branch does it fall under. So that's never really been something that we focused on. Like we're just...
Yeah, and you shouldn't. You know, you shouldn't have to focus on it at all, because in the end you're knocked loose. You know, and the color and emotion and feeling for the fans are what they decide.
Yeah.
You know, it's a slippery slope. You know, your fans spend 99.9% of their time with you with a CD in their car, in their pods, or you know whatever. And if you're lucky, and they're lucky that you get to spend time together. I mean, there's still, you know, people will bitch like we don't come to certain states or this stuff, but there are people in South Africa that didn't even get to see Paul Gray play or Joey. So it's like, you know, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough to, and I remember when we were coming in, it was that whole, you know, I never knew about all this stuff, man. You know, I went from the basement until people calling us nu metal. And I used to hate that. And the reason why I hated it was because before we even got into the scene, whatever the fuck that is, you know, we're anti-scene.
Yeah.
You know, we want to deconstruct all of it, you know, because that's how you get clumped. And I would have never performed without a mask, and that's why I came up with it, because there's just no way.
Yeah.
There's just no way. I'm an only child, and I just have my own way of thinking. But yeah, you know, enter the rock and roll world and it's like nu metal. It's like, wait a minute, we didn't, what?
Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
I don't know, I don't know what that has to do with anything that we're doing or that we want to do. I don't know what that is. So I agree with you. I would advise, only as an opinion, to always never care about that and just be you, you know?
I feel like it doesn't really change what you sound like, no matter what you call yourself. Like, you sound like Slipknot or you sound like Knocked Loose. And we like to play shows. We don't like to play hardcore shows or metal shows. Like, we just like to play shows. We've played with, like, pop punk bands and we've played with rappers, and it's just like that. It didn't change what we sounded like. So, like, I definitely agree with you where it's like, if you accept that name of like being a nu metal band, then you get clumped. It's like, well, you're a nu metal band, so you tour with nu metal bands. And it's like, no, you just want to tour.
Yeah, I mean, it was to a point with us, we just wanted to tour, and then you can imagine we were sort of like a cancer in everybody's agenda. And that was, you know, that was the purpose. And that still is the purpose, you know? But yeah, I mean, that's so frustrating. You know, I was talking to Max Cavalera a couple days ago, and we were just talking about, it's really left and right brainers, you know? You know, you brought a left brainer with you today, you know, and they're on it, you know? He's over there, your manager is what I'm talking about. And they got one side of looking at things, and we have another.
Yeah.
And they have to coexist, but the problem is sometimes those left brainers can come up with shit like nu metal.
Yeah.
What does that even mean, nu metal? Stupid. But I just never liked it because I like a lot of bands that got clumped in there.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I just don't understand how some bands that are metal or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I guess there was, some of it's that look, I guess. which we never had. So I don't understand how we got clumped. Yeah. I just don't get it. But
I feel like it maybe because it was different, but that was just because it was like your own. You know what I mean?
Well, and that's true too. I mean, they're always looking to recreate themselves to sell copies of anything.
Yeah.
You know, just to, hey, it's a 10-year anniversary. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Oh, it's 20th anniversary of Iowa. So fucking what? Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Enjoy the album. You know, we're going to do a re-edition. Why? So you can make more money? You know, buy me a station wagon so I can pick up groceries. So I don't get any of that shit. I must be getting warmed up. I don't know. Anyway, so what label?
We're on Pure Noise Records.
What is it?
Pure Noise Records.
Pure Noise Records. I don't know.
It's from Berkeley, and then they were in L.A., and now they're in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a smaller
label?
Yeah.
Who else is on that?
The Story So Far, which is a pretty big pop-punk band based out of California, and then other... like Stick to Your Guns,
yep.
Counterparts, Tear. Yeah, yep. So pretty mixed batch, but
okay.
They have a lot of pop punk, a lot of hardcore.
Well, and if they're smaller, you know, maybe, you know, you can get more attention.
Yeah, it's very hands-on.
That's good.
I like the relationship that we've built with them. We have two LPs out with them, and I now would consider them my friends to the point where if I have a problem, I'm calling them directly.
That's good. Well, yeah. They need to take your call.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of a bank, you know, so they have their best interest in your interest.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure they got your interest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's good. That's always been a really, you know, I'm getting to the end of my stuff, and I'm in love with being free.
Yeah.
And my dad is passed, both my parents are passed, but if they were alive, they would be so proud of me for getting off the label. You know, it's been, and we took our time.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we're not off yet. We still got to get this new one out.
Yeah.
And, it's been a great ride, but I feel the same thing. Back in the day, Roadrunner was very family oriented.
Yeah.
I can't say it is now, but that's only because I'm not looking for new family members. I'm sort of keeping the old, and everyone kind of went everywhere. Got bought out, bands went away, people pass, things change.
Yeah.
You just got to roll with it, so.
Absolutely.
What do you guys got planned? Well, I mean, you said that you're from Nashville, or excuse me, Kentucky, Louisville. And that you moved out here.
Yeah.
So what are you doing out here besides moving out here and being here? I mean, obviously you're probably here because you're going to be getting busy with a lot of stuff.
I kind of moved out here just for a change of pace. Like, I'd been out here obviously a lot working with Knock Loose, and I just really love it. And it's just worlds different than Kentucky or like Iowa, which I'm sure you know.
So, oh, yeah.
So me and my girlfriend had been talking about it a little bit, and then we just finally pulled the plug. And since I've been out here, it is nice and convenient to be this close to like management and the label so that we can have these conversations in person rather than
sure.
on the phone. But as far as the band, like, we're just planning and hoping. We just announced a tour. We're supporting Gojira.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's amazing.
I'm very, very excited about that. We've been talking as a band, like, obviously with the pandemic, like, you hear about something and you don't know if it's going to happen or if it's not going to happen. So you talk about it for like months and months and months, and then it gets announced. So like, we've been excited about this for a very long time. And every member of my band is very different when it comes to music. And there's not a ton of bands that we can all agree on, but Gojira is one of those bands. Like, we all are just really big fans, and we can't wait to get out there with them. Like, hopefully that it ends up happening.
They are some of my favorite people in the business. They're all just great human beings. And beyond that, I can remember a long, long, long time ago, Joey pulling me aside, saying, man, this band is badass.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have time, just depending. I mean, you know, we got that 90 minutes and my whole day is designed around giving the fans the best I have to offer for myself in this reality. So, I mean, even 30 minutes of something can be draining.
Yeah.
But I would always go check them out. And I mean, they are one of my favorite bands. They are a go-to listen to at least a week. I'm stuck on a couple different albums,
yeah.
Songs in particular. And Simon and I, we share that love. And he's really good friends with them.
Yeah.
And we got to be pretty close with them. And, you know, Mario is an artist and does stuff with his drum heads and gave us a bunch of wonderful art. And, you know, they have a studio where they, you know, it's so awesome because you can actually go online and see they time-lapse building it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's so cool. You know, they I don't know, but I'm sure they took an advance. And they both, the brothers, built it up, and yeah. It's so cool to watch. And they I believe they do their stuff, and he, you know, they produce. And I've been telling Simon, you know, he should go there, because he, like talking to you, he talks to Mario and those guys all the time. And
absolutely.
So I was like, why don't you hit him up, you know, why don't you record there, you know, why don't you go, they're our friends.
Yeah.
You're comfortable around them, they're up and coming and producing and recording and the band, and it's all family. So we talked about it. He got a bid or two, and that might be something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just letting the boys do the boys. You know, they're doing their thing, and they're gonna do it until they know what's up. So
yeah, I'm very excited for that.
When does that start?
October.
Okay, so yeah. not far. We're I'm in the same boat as you. We're being. I spent a year hearing no, which was fine, because I just kept going in the garden and growing Carolina Reapers and all this other wonderful stuff and making booze, and just took some time to grieve and do whatever. But now about a month ago, management started using the concept of 100%. They started saying that September was gonna be 100%. So, you know, we don't play games and we don't get hopes up and we don't try to get excited. So, I mean, I try not to think about it, but you know, I'm gonna be here in LA doing this record probably all the way up to September, possibly. Yeah. But if not, hopefully get home sometime in August, do some jet skiing, get my soul together, do some running, and get back out.
Yeah.
And so is it a United States tour?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because that's pretty much what we can probably get done.
Yeah. And it was weird, like at the beginning, I'm sure that you all dealt with this too, but it's like, everything shuts down in like March, and it was the day that we were supposed to fly to Europe. We were supporting Madball, and my bags were packed. I was leaving for the airport in an hour, and I got the text like everything shut down. But then it's like, oh, it'll probably be the summer. So then 2 months later, it's like, oh no, never mind, it'll probably be the fall.
Well, you're absolutely right, it's been that way. And you know, I'm not a conspiracist. I like to read between the lies. I like to read between the lies, all right? I like to read between the lines, which end up being lies. But I'm with you, you know? But the election is over, and the vaccine's out, and there's pros and cons. No mask, mask, tested, not tested, vaccine, not vaccine. I'm with you, they could just go, whoosh, but oh, I don't want to say we have seen the worst, because India is a mess right now as we speak. It's an absolute mess. I read last night they exceeded the 20 million of COVID positive tests. Now, I don't know what that all entails. I don't want to be wrong on that, but it was, I mean, it's out of control. People are having to fend for themselves, which could mean death.
Yeah.
So those sorts of things, they absolutely no travel in from India.
Yeah.
So things go bad, of course, they're gonna pull it again.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm trying not to get my hopes up and just try to focus on other
art.
Ways to be productive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like getting close with my family.
This is wonderful. You said that you and your girlfriend moved out here. So have you been in a, you know, I don't want to get too personal or whatever, but you've been in a relationship enough to have, you know, someone you care about come with you?
Yeah, we've been dating for about 10 years.
Nice.
And she actually tours with us. She does all of our production.
So 10 years?
Yeah, going on 10 years.
So you're 25?
I'm 27.
27, yeah. So since you were 17.
Yeah.
High school sweethearts.
Fresh out of high school.
Fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
All right, nice, man. Yeah. That's nice. That's sort of like my story. I've been, we're going to have, I'm going to get yelled at. I say we're going on 30 years marriage,
okay. But
we're either approaching the 28 or 29.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You round up.
You round up because it's important. We like to round up. We like to think about this monumental, successful journey we've been on.
Definitely.
And it's beautiful to hear. I've always been very, and Max Cavalera and I were talking about this as well, that I've always been very proactive to let people know that musicians can be in love and care for a single human being in a relationship and have children and stay married.
Yeah.
And I always tell people, I don't need an award for not cheating because when I said I do, I meant I do, you know, through sickness and health and, you know, all that stuff. So that's great. That's great. So that, and it's even better. I bring this up because you're saying that you're conscious about spending time with your family and these things, because you never know, man. The kids are the whole reason we exist.
Yeah.
You know, we like to think we are what we are, but what we are is our art, and we do it because we love it. And but it's really up to them, you know.
Yeah.
It's up to them what they decide for us. So it is very important to not, if I could always give people, you know, some really important words of advice, it would be to spend as much time with family, never letting it go.
I have two younger brothers though, and they're like my best friends. So
that's awesome.
When touring started for me and when it started to pick up, like obviously you miss things, you miss birthdays and graduations. So being able to have, like looking on the bright side and being able to have the year and a half that I've had to just be able to like fully spend time with them and like get closer as they get older, and like I got to be there for some like important, like my youngest brother graduated high school, I got to be there, my middle brother moved out of my parents for the first time, so like
that's a big deal.
It's been very nice on that side of things to be able to like be closer with them. When I came out here, I got to fly them out. They had never been to California, never really traveled much out of Kentucky. So I got to kind of be like, hey, I'm a free Airbnb. Like if you all can get here, you can see California for the first time ever. And we got to experience that together. And it's been really nice.
That's amazing, man. You got a really good head on your shoulders. I mean, it's important to have these kind of attributes getting into this whatever it is for you. For me, it's, you know, it's been quite a life, quite an interesting life to live in this band called Slipknot that I, you know, helped create 1/9 of this anomaly that will end up destroying me one way or another. And I'm, you know, there's sort of a, I think it's a funny story. You know, it's just before I turned 50, I was sort of having, I don't believe in nervous, you know, like nervous breakdowns or midlife crisis.
Yeah.
But I've had one for sure now that I, you know, they just sort of sneak up on you. It's all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they say, time is free, but you can't have it. It's not yours to control. It's yours, but it's running out. It's, you know, time is a very important thing. So you have a very good conscience on your head right now to be able to focus in on those things, because you will miss birthdays.
Yeah.
You will miss anniversaries. Hopefully you don't have deaths that you can't, you know, be around. Hopefully. I lost my dad out on the road, and I always knew it too, because Slipknot is full on. It's still just full on.
Yeah.
Going somewhere we don't know, and we're all just holding on to it like this. And once in a while, you know, we all think this. We're like, you know, get off, you know. But you know, instead, we're like, let me help you.
Just taking
you know, just, and we just, we're just burning, you know, and it hasn't, we haven't stopped, and it's can get confusing, but yeah, you know, it's good to think that. Don't ever let that go. Yeah. It's really, really important.
I respect that mentality, though. Like, granted, we haven't been doing it for extremely long, but we kind of had the same goal in mind as far as work ethic of just, like, getting out there and going and going and going. And it was, like, before there was money in it, before there was even people at the shows, like, it was just so exciting to be on the road that we were in a broken-down, rusty van. And sometimes 10 plus people in a 15 passenger van, no trailer. And it was just play as many shows as we can, play to anybody. And it was just back to back. And luckily it just was kind of like a slow incline and things just continue to get more comfortable for us. But it was just the excitement of playing. And it still very much is. And I told myself that if I ever stop getting excited about, like, the people that I get to meet or the bands that I get to watch, then I just have no reason doing it anymore, because, like, that's why I started in the first place.
Well, that is also a good way to be. It gets more complicated, of course. The bigger you get, when you get out of a 15-seater and you get into a bus, if you get into a bus, it just, you know, it doesn't have to change, but you're going to change.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway, because you're going to get older. You're going to get wiser. You're going to experience. For example, like me in my life right now, I've had to get rid of as much toxicity as possible. Toxicity comes with the... It's par for the course. It adheres itself to you. And it may take time to maneuver through it. You might not notice it right away. You know, you just might not notice it.
Yeah.
But the older you get, and you know, my life's changed a lot, whereas we would always have been right there with the fans for so many years. I can remember opening up for Cold Chamber and, you know, leaving the stage and kids coming outside, you know, to say hi to us and rocking our bus. But we'd come out and be like, knock that shit off, you know? They'd say, what the fuck are you doing? But now I couldn't go out there. Of course I could, but it will get crazy.
Yeah.
It'll get crazy.
Yeah.
People will get close. It just gets nuts.
Yeah.
And a couple of years back, we were playing Mexico City Knotfest, and the doors had only been open like 10 minutes. And I told my wife, like, hey, you want to go see the museum? And she's like, is everything going to be cool? I'm like, absolutely. And got security, and it was my wife and maybe one other person. We were on this big, long golf cart, and oh my God, we started driving in. I was like a wave of humans, like, rolling over. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And right as they were getting on us, I just boosh my wife out of the car. I'm like, you got to get out now. Boom, she tucked and rolled. And she's done this before. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I didn't kick her out. No, she didn't tuck and roll. Yeah. But it was like, hey, you're jumping without a chute. We're crash landing.
Yeah.
And she did. She went whoop, and they didn't focus on her. And they nailed us, man.
Yeah.
They got in the car. I'd never experienced anything like that. Very strange. So
it must have been weird to, like, how long was it before you started to get that without the mask on?
Oh, the masks are a whole other thing.
Because, I mean, I remember, like, being young. My first introduction to your band was a VHS.
Yeah, welcome to the neighborhood?
Maybe. I'm not sure the name, but my uncle had it, and I watched it. And being young, obviously, I was terrified. But I remember, like, getting access to the internet and, like, Googling, like, without a mask, you know what I mean? So, like, how long was it until you, sorry to, like, ask you the question.
I you know, I'm 51, so I grew up with bands like Kiss and, you know, just all these bands, right? So the one thing that I always knew with Kiss was they weren't moving from the agenda. And the agenda was, this is how we look, and maybe some of this changes, but this doesn't.
Yeah.
And that was the brand. And immediately, you know, from day one, it was like, I will never be held to one thing.
Yeah.
I will never be held to one mask. I just won't do it because I'm too uppity. And I think that's when the depression would really happen, is if I had to be whatever. So with that looseness, there was never an expectation of not being known.
Okay.
So it's a strange one, because I could be in Colorado in a mall on a top level on a phone with my back to a door and talking, and someone will go, "Clown!" And I'll be like, "What? What?" You know, I'll be like, "Gotta go. I'm in a department store. I'm just watching my wife go in between dresses and stuff."
Yeah, yeah.
I take a deep breath, because you never know. I turn around and I'm like, "Hello, first and foremost, how?" And he's like, "It's how you hold yourself. No one holds yourself like you." I'm like, no. It's like, "True, clown, telling you, watched a million videos, seen you, blah, blah, blah. It's the way you stand up." And I guess there's some truth to that. You know, by watching people, you can learn a lot.
Yeah.
So to finalize your question, because it's really all over, truthfully, no one wants this. No one wants this, not even you. You know, you're probably just sitting there going, "Whoa, this is what he looks like." And that's the truth, man. You know, that's the, it's always been about the mask.
Yeah.
It's not ever been about me. It's never been about who we are individually. We've done our best to try that. You know, I blame the press and all the idiots in the world that want to make something out of nothing. You know, they make it confusing.
Yeah.
They make Slipknot confusing for a dollar.
I feel like a lot of press wants to like paint their own picture.
Oh, they do.
Of what, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys have had it a million times, but something that we have experienced in the past is they're like, "Oh, you're from Kentucky. We're going to fly a photographer to Kentucky and we're going to find like a farm and you're going to sit on a tractor." And I'm like, "Oh, do you want me to be like barefoot too?" But I'm like, no, that's not what the band is. Like, granted, I have a lot of family that grew up on farms, but like, I'm not like.
You're right. Don't lose that. Tell them to go to hell, but keep your humor. Keep your humor, because that's how you'll stay sane.
Yeah. I don't know.
Me, it was different. Like, it was all kicking the door in 24 hours a day. You know, "Hey, Corey, hold the chainsaw." You know, door, you're out. You know, just horrible shit.
Yeah.
So, however, for your fans, this is getting wiser, I guess.
Yeah.
For your fans, you learn if you make it and you go further, you learn by looking in a little bit of what they wanted.
Of course.
But on the tractor, fuck you. Yeah. Unless you drove a tractor.
Yeah.
Unless you drive a tractor all the time, or a tractor's part of your life. I mean, that's bullshit. You know?
There's definitely like a creative middle ground where like you want to play the game, but you don't want to like sacrifice who you are.
Don't forget, you don't have to play the game. That's why it's called a game.
Yeah.
You know? You don't have to. Games have two things, winners and losers. And if you're a loser, you got to be good sportsmanship.
Yeah.
And we've never had good sportsmanship because we're here to win.
Yeah.
And the game is what's the problem. So the problem was like that we're not playing. Kick.
Yeah.
We're not playing, you know, and the constant game, you know. And you're right. You have to entertain it. It's fun. Stick a quarter in it and rock the son of a bitch, you know? But it's a tough game, especially when all those people that want to play it aren't even going to be where they're at a year from where they started.
Yeah.
Most people that started at the label are gone. Most of my favorite people that did press are gone. Luckily, we have some wonderful people that have withstood the whole tables of time and are still doing what they do. And but as an old, you know, being older and looking back, there are some fond, like we did a similar thing. We had I just tried to bring, one thing that was in my head before you got here was the fact that you're new school and I'm old school. Meaning I'm sore on my way out and you're directly in your way in. So it'd be cool for the kids to hear some things and talk, you know, so you're like, "Look, play the game, and I'm like, I've played the game. So yeah, that's kind of what interests me. Absolutely. About us, you know, and kind of why I do what it.
Beforehand as well, like, I'm hoping that this turns into a conversation rather than you just asking me questions.
Oh, no, yeah, I don't.
I want to hear and, like.
Yeah, I hate my whole, and, you know, the left brainers again, they're always, you know, when I decided to do this, I thought, well, I don't want to do it, you know, because it's not with you. I mean, just the podcast in general, because I want it to be personal, and personal is the hardest thing for me. You know, I figure if I'm going to spend some time with you, you know, we're going to become friends, and then it's just going to be that way, you know. So it's very hard for me because I want to have just a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel my culture wants from me. You know, I'm not, you know, but I'm interested. So the conversation has a lot of interest to educate. But yeah, that's what I try to do. You know, just make it what I think it should have been. I mean, I remember I'd get so mad at the paraphrasing. I mean, Hit Parader, which I grew up on, you know, that's where I got all the pictures of Van Halen, Dio, Priest, Iron Maiden, even Zeppelin. I mean, it was just everybody. That's how I grew up. And they had the songs. They had the lyrics. And that was amazing. But what I didn't know, and I don't know if they did it at that time, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to, like, throw anybody under a bus or anything, but this is how weird it gets. It's like, sometimes people would take and paraphrase other interviews with other magazines, and then they would use it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't even know, like, I did this interview in AP, but someone paraphrased it and put it in Hit Parader.
Yeah.
And then same thing, take pictures of pictures. And then when they put it in Hit Parader, it's all pixelated.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And you know, so it's been a game that we just never wanted to play. And it's a hard one, but we did a, before we were signed, there was a wonderful kids play set, wood, like a castle.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a famous artist that makes these. And I think he goes to every city and he'll make them, you know, if a school will pay for it. So we took a bunch of pictures there before we were signed without coveralls and stuff. So, you know, they wanted to get in on that. They must have seen some early pictures that we used, and they want to get in on that jungle gym shit with us. And even though it was childish and seemed like kindergarten, the tractor, you know, like, can you guys get in the swing? Yeah. But the thing is we had already made comfort with the swing.
Yeah.
We had already made peace with the jungle gym.
Yeah.
And we liked it.
Yeah.
We just never wanted to be circus. I never wanted to be circus, Halloween, any sort of wrestling at all.
Yeah.
You know, and I can say, I used to go watch Andre the Giant play Veterans Auditorium downtown Des Moines, Iowa. I go to those all-star wrestling, Junkyard Dog, you know, Piper, all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm not that. Why? Because you can watch someone jump off a thing. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We jump off of balconies or whatever Sid does, but it's not off of ropes. So why compare us to that? But, you know, that's been my whole career is, do you want to be this and that? And even though we have fans over there, I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. I love All-Star Wrestling.
Yeah.
I grew up with it. I'm a fan, so I know I have fans there. But until that society and my society, or both cultures, can work together and make it look good, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, I just, because that's what they do. They get on the tractor, and then you're on the tractor, and then you're like, damn it.
You got straw in your mouth.
Yeah, I went in the tractor and I joked about being barefoot, but I did it, and now I'm,
yeah,
so.
Yeah, country band,
Well, I'm glad to see things haven't changed.
Even with the, like, Jungle Gym, like, there's definitely, like a juxtaposition of being, like, you have the masks and you're, like, this, like, intimidating figure and you're on, like, a child's.
That's why we made peace with it. Exactly. It's sort of like, get those guys out of the Jungle Gym.
Yeah, it's like where you might, like, where Halloween might make sense, it's like, no, we don't want to do that because that's what the picture that everybody's trying to paint. So, like, I definitely understand that.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about Slipknot is the way people would be introduced. You know, they would, you know, someone, I have a really good friend who, you know, he tells a story. He was my tech, Sean Kane, and he, tells a really good story about the first time that he heard Slipknot. He got to drive around to his friend's house and just pull up, and, you know, like straight up from New York. So he's got the accent. I'm not going to mimic him. I can do pretty good, but I'm not going to do it. But yeah, he, you know, he would roll up and, you know, it's kind of like looking forward, CDs ready to go. And he just rolled down the window. Friend would come up, he'd be like, yo, you know, like, you heard the new Slipknot, or have you heard of Slipknot? And they'd be like, no. And then he'd be able to go, you know, just like, where have you been kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So what would happen is people would hear us and hold the CD and go, what the fuck am I listening to? And then go, what the fuck am I looking at? Is this the band? What is it? You know, and just, what is this and what is this? But then they would see us live and it'd be like, okay. Then it would all come together. And that's what I always loved was that reward. You can listen, you can read, but you ain't not gonna be aware till you experience.
Yeah,
I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, to an extent for sure, because I feel like it's, even as like a non-metal listener, it's a kind of energy that's like very addicting. Like we'll have like family come out because they want to see me perform or see us perform, and then they talk about how much fun they had. Like, they couldn't believe it. They were just, what, they've never listened to metal in their life, and I'm sure you've had the same thing. And like, for you all, it was so exciting because there was like the mask element to it, and just how crazy you all were on stage, that it's just like people that don't even like it can appreciate it and enjoy it.
Well, I feel like the best thing that was ever said was a gentleman who wrote for a local paper in Des Moines, but moved on, but did an interview, and it's right before we hit Ozfest. This is before we even hit Ozfest. He said we were most compared to a car wreck. And I feel that statement is the best statement ever. And then my wife has one, like, Slipknot has to be dysfunctional to be functional. So you add those two things together, and that's exactly what it is. So people, as we know, unfortunately, in car wrecks, will stop for a teeny fender bender to look at carnage when there is no carnage.
Yeah.
So you can imagine Slipknot, I know this very well, people would just stop in their tracks in complete fear, but in complete joy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm scared to death, but I fucking love it.
Yeah.
And that's...
And even if they hate it, they're gonna talk about it.
So yeah, it's been quite a trip.
With us, it was just about like, I love playing an aggressive show and like learning how to talk to different crowds, because not every crowd's the same. And you can play a floor show and you can tell everybody to beat the shit out of each other, but then when you play the big room with the barricade, you can't really talk to them that way because it's a different crowd. You might have some first listeners and some people that are just used to a different environment. So maybe you tell them to put their hands up in the air. And like, learning how to navigate those different rooms and like existing on both sides of things has been very enjoyable for me, because we just hit the stage and we just try to be as aggressive as we can. And I can't do it unless I am, because I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs. So I need that adrenaline behind me. And I feel like in a lot of ways it makes it to where, like, if you don't like what we're doing, you're at least like, whoa, this is crazy.
Yeah, that's really what it is, just living in oneself, you know? Just, I like what you're saying, though. It is, I'm thinking about it. It's exactly that way. It's great when family and people, we're pretty extreme, and we've never apologized, and there's probably a lot of variables about us. They're not questionable, but they're on the edge of like art, you know, to represent. And we push the envelope, you know, but even though we've pushed it, the parents and the brothers and sisters always have had a good time, even when we were just not right. They still were like, well, you know, there'll be urine. And you're like, yeah, sorry.
The disclaimer.
Yes.
Like, well, family, like, you can't stand here if you come to one of our shows.
Oh, that was the way it was in the beginning. It was like, because I would always tell people, please don't play in front of me.
Yeah.
Because clowns come in, and I, you know, nothing's on purpose, but it's circumstantial random events of art and pain and love and all that good stuff. So just don't stand here.
Yeah.
And yeah, they'd stand there, and then a keg would knock some people out that were family, and I'd get yelled at, and but the family would love it. And I'm like, don't stand there. And they're like, yeah, there's nowhere else to stand. And you're like, I get it, you know, but.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. What do you, I sent you, what do you like to do on your spare time? I ask, cause I mean, do you like to fish? I was telling you, I like Kentucky, you know, there's a lot of great woods, I'm from Iowa, so we're flat, but I grew up in a forest. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have cable TV in the beginning, and, you know, so the only way to get out of the adult's eyes was to get into the forest, and that's where the creek was, and that's where the carp and the toad and the frog and the sparrows and the deer and, you know.
Very similar. I like to hike a lot. I like to just, like, over the pandemic, I've picked up guitar. Never really been a guitar player, but
well, that'll help you with your
trying to learn.
Sure.
Video games. I like to play video games.
What do you play?
I'm stuck on Fortnite right now.
Fortnite. I don't know. Is it a Mac? Battle Royale. Okay, cool. Yeah.
But I also like a lot of like story mode driven games, like The Last of Us.
Okay.
It's like one of my favorite games.
You ever play World of Warcraft?
I haven't, no. Our bass player is huge into it, though.
I know this sounds whatever, but that... So my best friend, I can remember him playing World of Warcraft when it was, like... It's a long story, but, like, they came out, and you want to talk about grinding. It was the real deal.
Yeah.
And then they had, you know, I think they probably had to make it a little easier as it got bigger.
Of course.
But that's... that game's... I don't know. I can't say enough about it. I've never... When I'm in pain or I need to escape this reality, that's the one. Because you can fish, you can fly, you can fight, dungeons, personal, I mean, it doesn't matter. No one can do it all. It's impossible. You know what I do mostly? I just fly around. Because I've met the guys who build it. And they literally are like, okay, this apple, they put it there and they turn it and look at it and turn it, look at it. Up it, make sure it's cool, playable, whatever, leave it. But they placed it. They don't have a template. They're putting trees in. So when you're flying around, you're like, fucking human beings put these 9 billion trees in here. So it's fascinating, you know?
It's definitely fascinating. I know our bass player is a huge fan of that, and he's got like this crazy PC setup. I'm not there yet. I'm still just playing on a PlayStation, but.
Well, maybe he can show me around. I'll have to hook up with him. We'll have to meet in one of the, as long as he's the horde.
Yeah.
As long as he's the horde, we'll meet up and maybe he can show me around. My best friend, he pummels me and he's not nice. He makes fun of me and, you know, the muscle memory has never been real good. But like I said, World of Warcraft, if you wanted to just run around and enjoy shit, I end up taking a lot of screenshots of just weird stuff that's going on. And
Yeah.
So you fish or anything like that?
No, but it's actually something I've been wanting to do. Like, I feel like since I moved here from Kentucky, I've started to, like, become more Kentucky.
Of course.
Subconsciously. Like, I've been listening to a lot of country music, and I've been like, man, I miss the woods.
Yeah, it's well, that's good, because you're going to need to go back home.
Yeah.
You're going to need to have a place that's zero. You're going to need to reflect on those things that you want. And you will pick up other things that maybe were available to you that you didn't entertain at that time. So I'm going to ask you one question, because you brought up Kentucky, and I'm just going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to do it, and everybody can kiss my ass.
Okay.
And you can just be like, you're an idiot, clown, or that's stupid, or what. But any Sasquatch stories?
I don't have any.
No family, nobody.
I don't know if anybody in my family might, but I personally don't, and I haven't heard any. Which is, like, I do enjoy hiking. I do enjoy the outdoors, and there's a bunch of, like, really, really beautiful, like, parks and wooded areas. So, like, who's to say? But I don't personally know.
I, for a long time, I'm very imprinted from life. You know, I was there when that first footage, that famous footage was shown. I mean, I was a little kid. And it just sort of fascinating.
Yeah.
to me. That's why I ask. I know a lot of people, professional people, like doctors, like scientists, people can get blacklisted for speaking of Sasquatch in a professional community.
Yeah.
Like if you're a DNA tester or whatever, and you get asked to look at hair or samples, you could possibly be discredited and not used. So being a musician, I get to play. The reason why I asked you was because for a long time when I researched, I put my eye on the top of Kentucky, right there on the line. Right in there, there's a whole mass community, all kinds of film and just things. And if I ever was gonna go look and camp for like 2-3 weeks, that's where I'd go.
Yeah.
And get there. And I also bring it up because two reasons. One, myths, you know, Sasquatch is a myth, but so was the silverback gorilla and so was the Komodo dragon. They were myths as well,
yeah,
that people saw from ships and wrote down, and people were like, you're fucking crazy. And then sure enough, one guy was a doctor, and the story goes, he, you know, told everybody he encountered this giant black furry thing upright, and there, you know, he shot it, chased it. They think it went over a mountain or a hill or something. Yeah. They went down the bottom, it was gone. He goes back, he tells everybody, they're like, we're gonna pull your license or whatever. And he's like, all right, screw you. Goes back, kills another one, too heavy to bring, cuts its head off, brings it in, sets it on the table, silverback gorilla.
Wow.
No longer a myth.
I didn't know that.
Reality.
Yeah.
Same with Komodo dragons, dudes on ships. Someone must have got bit because Komodo's got poisonous saliva.
Yeah.
As they bite you, you're going down. So they even wrote that, you know, not a myth anymore. So I kind of say it like that because there's always a chance that the myth can be broken. And the other one is I talked to a scientist recently who works for NASA. My God, my whole life was turned upside down. If you can, go to the Electric Theater and watch this NASA science. I'm telling you, man. The way he communicated and the subject matter we went to, I was like, I don't know anything. Yeah. I've been doing Slipknot for so long. My feet are not in the soil, man.
Yeah.
And I need to get there, you know? I was like, Sasquatch. And he was like, ah, and he went down, he came up, he's like, no. And I was like, yeah, but you work for the government. And he started laughing. And the whole time he called it Bigfoot until I got a little closer. And then he called it Sasquatch. And I was like, Bigfoot's a coined name.
Yeah.
So anyway, I have a love for the Squatch in Kentucky.
Yeah.
So
well, if you make your way out there.
For sure.
There's a national park called the Red River Gorge.
Okay.
That's beautiful. It's in northern Kentucky. And me and my friends or my girlfriend go there several times a year during like summer and fall because it's just like beautiful hiking, beautiful cabins, but it's like so huge. There's this thing there called the Natural Bridge. It's just like this big rock formation that looks like a bridge.
Wow. It's got like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just, you can go there and look for the Sasquatch, and if you don't find him, you'll at least enjoy being in the gorge.
Yeah, it's just one of those little funny things in life, and I don't know, I got more interested because of all the wonderful proactive people that just go out and hike and look, and you know, it's fun, you know, that if you ever look it up, that there's tree structures.
Yeah.
So somebody will go out in the woods and try to figure out how all these branches fell on each other.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is impossible. You know, they're like, it would have had to, and none of them have root balls, you know, and that, you know, it's just fun. Like,
yeah.
What if, you know, wouldn't it be interesting? Yeah. And I asked my best friend once, and then we can get off the squats, but I asked my best friend was a lawyer. And I asked him, and he likes the Squatch like me, and I was like, why do you think we haven't found Sasquatch? And he just simply said it. He's like, because it spends its entire existence avoiding us. And I was like, I like that. Yeah. God, I would love it if it was real. That if a pure species in between human and whatever just lives without fire and
doesn't want to be found
and is the purest thing to this earth, you know. That's remarkable. I think that's the love of it. Secretly, I just bought 121 acres and I'm gonna start building cabins with my own hands, and I want to learn.
Yeah.
I want to learn how to make things and use my skills on a different approach. So, without getting on the tractor, with them getting me on the tractor, but I want to know how to drive a tractor.
Yeah.
You know, that's the whole point. You know, when you get comfortable, you can get very comfortable. You know, you can get comfortable with the people you work with. You can get comfortable with your own band. You can get comfortable and like, hey, get me a cheeseburger. You know, like, screw all that. We like to work, and every new place has a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, this room's different. You know, that's how you evolve.
Yeah.
You know, we like things to be harder than easier. We always have. We don't know why, but we've always liked things a little more difficult. You know, I drove out here, and I like to earn it. You know, I hate it the whole time. I got nervous legs, you know, air conditioning's chapping out my lips, and staying at shitty hotels, and, you know, the dog's in the car, so he's not happy because he's got to be in a car. But then you get here, you know, and you unwind, and you're like, I just earned that shit. You know,
yeah.
I didn't fly, I just drove, and I got to see things and think and listen and stuff. So I like to do a lot of that. I like to just make things harder.
I like to do a lot of driving.
That's good.
Which I think, like on tour, I drive the van every night.
Is it because you like to drive, or you don't trust people?
A little bit of both is what, when it comes to the van. Like, I just found, it's funny because when we started touring, I would sleep anywhere. I would let anybody drive. I just didn't care whatsoever. And like we would tour in a 15 passenger van with no trailer. So all of our gear would be in the back. We would take out the last two benches. So when I didn't have room to sleep, I would climb on top of our gear and sleep on top of our gear. And like people would be driving, whatever, I didn't care. But it's like the more that we did it, the more I kind of became aware of, I don't know, just like came back down to earth and realized like this is dangerous.
Well, it's back to what you were saying earlier though. You know, you're onto your own reality. What you were saying earlier, which was a bold statement, and we all say it. We all say it in the beginning. I don't comment too much on it because I've done this a long time, and you're getting ready to hopefully do it for a long time. But you said when things change, you're not going to do it anymore. But see, you already quit sleeping from the back to the front.
Yeah.
3 years ago, you'd say that's never going to change. Or Billy's going to drive the bus, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, a few more fans, a few more knocked loose, you know, maybe a dollar in your pocket, maybe you sold out of merch.
It allows us to be more comfortable.
So
definitely.
Imagine now you keep at it and you grind and you grind and you keep at it and you keep at it, just keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it. Think about everything you're going to learn. Sometimes people keep at it and never grow. And then at this point, they're like, we need to change. And then they just, whoop, because they've been keeping at it, but maybe not correctly.
Yeah.
So you're always going to have getting off of that equipment. Pretty soon, you're not going to be allowed to drive because you'll be in a bus.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, well, screw that. You know how many times I've sat up front? I won't talk to a bus driver for 4 days. Well, I've had to fire bus drivers who drink while we drive. We had a bus driver once. Everybody's got these horror stories, man. This is why you moved off that thing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to tell us. We just know.
Yeah.
I had a bus driver come in about 2 a.m, we'd leave. And he had this trick where he'd blow fire. You know, so what do you smell for the next 2 hours? Lighter fluid and a fucking fire. Well, if you would have gone up to him before he blew that fire, you'd smell an eighth of whiskey or something. He's a functional alcoholic. And I'm not slamming him. I'm not whatever. But what I am saying is, this man drove me and my brothers while we were asleep with alcohol in his system. True. So you have to get off that. So I won't talk to a bus driver for 4 days unless they're repeaters, which I try my hardest. I have my own driver in Europe, young kid, one of my favorite people in the world.
Yeah.
Just total trust and love, you know? I can sleep, I can actually lay down.
Yeah.
You know, after the 4 days, I'll go sit up in the captain's chair up there and I'll watch this guy. And what I live for is when they tell me, hey, you want to talk? And they're like, nope, just want to get you to the next place. Some of them like to talk and some don't. And if they say they don't, I love them.
Yeah.
And if they do, I love them. Because some of them just, you know, some have been doing it a long time that yeah. they can handle it. Some just want to make you happy. And if they wake, if you wake up the next day and they're like, how was the drive? Because they know they were going through hills and shit. And if I'm like, bro, I slept the whole time. I mean, that's all they care about. You know, yeah. they really want to get you there. So yeah, your whole life is going to be getting off that. And getting away from what you want, you know. Yeah. I have so many things. Of course, I can. I don't want to use the word allowed. There's so many things I'm not allowed to do anymore. I can do anything I want.
Yeah.
But it's best if yeah. I listen to the great people around me make suggestions so I don't fuck up.
Of course.
So, and I'm pretty known for my energy and just whacked out things happening to me at all times because I just push it, you know, and I yeah. shouldn't, you know. Just like before you got here, I was going to go use the restroom and I spilt water all over my whole leg. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to walk around and let everybody think I pissed on myself. So that happened right before you got here.
Yeah.
That's par for the course.
You like doing things the hard way.
Got to do it the hard way, man.
Yeah.
Then you earn it.
I
you know?
Respect that though. And it's like then when you do the press and it's like, how is recording? It's like, well, it's different because it's different every time. You know
every I mean? Time. You got to grow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you indulge in all the social activity, Instagram, Facebook? I mean, do you do it all? Are you on it every day, making it better? Are you told to do that? You do it on your own?
I have it and I participate in it, but I try to use it as a place. Like, I'm really particular about not being negative online because I feel like it's just screaming into a void, and I feel like that can really, well, for me, like, that can really affect me. If I'm scrolling and all I see is negativity, if all I see is like, this fucking sucks, and it's like, sometimes I just have to put it down and walk away from it. So for me personally, I use the internet to help share things about my band, make jokes. I like to think that I'm
humor's
pretty funny.
Humor's great.
And then maybe just like share things that are going on that I think maybe my followers need to know about. Help my, like if my friend's band posts something, maybe I'll share it. Whatever. But yeah, I try my hardest not to be negative because I just feel like that can be so toxic. And
there's no reason for it.
Yeah. And in the past year, it's been important to just like not get sucked into it and just like go outside or whatever.
I try to roll. I think I have a great ability because it doesn't exist anyway. None of this exists. You know, this is all somebody else's idea. So why would everybody like you anyway? There's on, there's off, there's left, there's right. There's love, there's hate. We hate that there's hate, but there's gonna be.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, 50% of the world loves me, 50% of the world hates me. I'm gonna spend 100% of my time around the 50% that loves me. So all that hate, you can't have, you know, 1,000 positive comments and people will only dwell on the one.
Yeah.
There it is. There's all the answers. You don't need to strive for perfectionism to make that one person happy. You're never going to.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as perfectionism. There's no such thing as control. That's what ruins it all. You gotta delinquish it. You know, you gotta get rid of the shit.
Yeah.
And so that's good. Humor's great. Not taking it seriously. Knowing. I can't tell you how many times. When I first got on a decade ago or whatever, somebody attacked me and I went in a back door and I got them. I got to them.
Yeah.
And I saw the negativity from our culture, like I had sprung a leak and they just started flooding in on this gentleman. And I was like, I will never do that again.
Yeah.
I will never ever do that again. But I had to seek out my own path.
Yeah.
He was like, ha, 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 I got you. You can't get me. And I was like, we'll see. Woo, 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 woo. Blah, blah, blah is in a relationship with blah, blah, blah. And that's how I got there.
Yeah.
Boom. boom, you're done, I found you. And after that day, I was like, nope, I don't even read comments.
Yeah.
And after my daughter passed away, no one gets to talk anymore because everyone's dumb, you know? Yeah. You ain't got nothing nice to say to me about someone in my family passing?
Yeah.
Your rights have been revoked unless I get in a good mood. And when I get in a good mood, I'm like, speak, but I don't read. Yeah. I can't. So, you know, I hate it that I have to do that for all the people that want to touch and speak, you know? It's horrible. But the river runs dry sometimes. You just gotta be ready for the drought.
Yeah.
The rain will come back.
Even beyond like negativity surrounding my band, just like negativity in general, like the internet is like giving people a platform to just like whine. And it's like, it's very like mentally taxing for me. And especially within the last year, like everybody's going through a hard time. So I'm not here to like tell somebody how they should deal with it. If that's how they choose to deal with it is by like tweeting about whatever they hate constantly, then like you do you, but like I just can't afford to let it get to me. And with like, I'm sure that you felt the same way, but it's like the last year was never a possibility in my mind. It was like we were touring and we were so busy. We released our second album and we hit the road and was just on the road consistently, and then all of a sudden it was like, hey, you have to stop until we don't know when. And like that wasn't something that I ever considered a possibility. So this whole year has just been like confusing because it's like, how do I, what do I do? And yeah, I mean, it definitely takes a toll on a person.
I mean, it puts reality in check. Think about world wars. Think about cities being leveled, you know? Can't go get a drink, can't go to the park, can't go to my friend's house. I mean, in some senses, you know, it could be worse. I mean, it's bad, but, you know, nuclear war, you know, all these things. So yeah, it's gonna come back around. It will, but you're right, it has been confusing. I think about all the young ladies who missed their prom, are single mothers. I mean, I about lost it when I read that this mother was stealing one can of formula. What kind of world do we live in?
Yeah, I also think it's important to say that like I'm not trying to throw like a pity party for myself, because I understand that there are people in much worse situations.
But we're all in it. Yeah, well, it's all perception. It doesn't. One guy may have, one guy may not have, but we're all human.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. Like, it's so, like, my brother graduated from high school, but it was, like, weird because it was a COVID ceremony. So it was, like, they're letting one person in at a time. You have a limited amount of family. Like, my grandmother couldn't be there to watch my brother graduate.
Yeah, that's tough.
And he didn't get a prom, like you said. Like, him and his girlfriend didn't get to go to prom. So, like, it's just, like, everybody got everything just like ripped right out.
Well, think about all the poor people who passed at the beginning when there were no facts. People weren't even allowed to go to the funerals.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine.
Can you not, I mean, they're in a room and you can't go say goodbye?
Yeah.
You know, it's been a pretty much a disaster, you know, but the lights are still on, so we need to make the best of it.
It is feeling like, I don't want to speak too soon and like knock on wood, but it's feeling like for the first time since this started that things are feeling hopeful.
It takes humans.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not the virus. It's humans. We are our own problem. So, I mean, you're right. It's feeling better because we are getting more positive and we're done with this. We're over this. And we can solve anything if we want, or we can destroy anything if we want. So I'm with you. We're gonna see each other out there. We're gonna do shows. So
yeah,
we'll do shows.
You don't have to ask me twice.
These are all, like I said, these are always they always mean a lot to me because you know, I really don't rehearse or nothing. I just get in here and maybe it's good, maybe it's not. I don't know. But what it is it helps me because I learned so much, and I am gonna spend the rest of the day thinking about you and thinking about things you said and reflecting on things you said and making a mind and, you know, remembering what I can offer after this. So I always want to, I've had a hard time meeting people, and I'm a weird magician that way, and it's my fault. So I love doing this because I get to meet people. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I hope it was all right for you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Good, because there's no agenda other than just saying hey and taking some time. And we're going to do this again.
Yeah.
And what's really fun is once we're all out on the road and stuff, I'll get to do this all the time. It won't have to be an hour.
Yeah.
Could just be a check-in with you, and then we've linked that to the first interview, and it's these little check-ins and stuff. Or I come watch you play, and you guys make me sign an NDA that I can use it just for the show or something. You know, I mean, we got a lot to do, man. So
yeah, of course.
A couple things just to reflect, man. I really love hearing the head on your shoulders. It makes me feel good, because this is a very confusing world, and in rock and roll is an even more confusing world. And you sound like you really have your morals as who you are without being all these other things, you know, just as a person. So keep that up and never forget that. And don't ever sleep with the equipment. Don't sleep with the equipment and make someone drive you even though they shouldn't, because you need to sing and you need your rest. But never forget family. And never, never lose that idea that you want your grandma to not be scared. I've never heard it that way. But I'll tell you what, honestly, my grandma was my favorite person. She's the one that introduced me to the arts, to life, to people. She was a nurturer. She gave me a highest respect for women. I used to love opening the door for my grandma. So. And just putting the chair and helping her. But then again, she used to bust me out to give her cigarettes. And I'd, you know, at 89, she's like, give me a cigarette. I'm like, no. Yeah. But we'd be smoking cigarettes together because she was my grandma and she loved it. So never lose that, man. Because if I take anything away, that is the coolest thing I've heard today. And no one's going to say anything cooler unless it's my family. But just hearing you say you want your grandma to not be scared of you and your art and your vision and your passion, because I'm sure you change a little bit on stage and that can be different, you know. You got someone that possibly changed your diapers and now you're doing a flip off a stage, and you know, it's quite a barrier to break. But I've been and then the crowd and people reacting to your art, it's quite a, but parents and people are so proud. But never change that. And if you ever get in difficulty, just remember what Clown said. Don't change that.
Yeah.
Stop and go, oh, grandma, she wouldn't like this. Get rid of it. It's that easy.
Yeah.
It'll be that simple for you. I want to shake your hand.
Yeah.
Pleasure to meet you. And we'll get on that. Everybody, dirty world. So we'll show you. All right. Anyway. If you need anything from me or the Knot, let me know. I look forward to meeting the other guys. Tell them I said hello.